Now I want you to hear the word of the Lord on this first Sunday of Advent. I'm reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I just want you to hear these words. And then maybe when you're home later today or through Advent, this is the end of his letter to Timothy. And sometimes it's something maybe we read really quickly and don't even stop. But I want you to hear these words as we start first Sunday of Advent. Our Lord is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is He alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. That's the God we worship this morning. But sometimes I take for granted this morning. I want to take that one phrase and just dwell on it today. The God that we say we worship dwells in unapproachable light. An unusual phrase, isn't it? It's halting, unapproachable light. It's a breathtaking description of God. Unapproachable. Unapproachable light. When I read it, it makes me think when you go through those old cathedrals, even here in the States, but like in Europe, when you walk in and it's just straight up and it's like, so far, unapproachable light. It's like, you know what it made me think of? The first time as a Christ follower that I went to see live Handel's Messiah. And there the wonderful Cleveland Orchestra and choir just boomed it out. And it's like, it's shaking my innards. For the first time, these words and this piece has significance to my soul. And then, almost as if that wasn't enough, then to be overwhelmed with those opening chords of the Messiah. And then everybody stands and you hear them singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And it's like, whoa. And there, just for a brief moment, in just a tiny shadow, somewhere in my ears and my soul, the vastness of God was real. Our God dwells in unapproachable light. Just the word unapproachable is sort of, Have you ever been accused of being unapproachable? Not a great thing if you're a parent or a teacher or a leader. Ah, he's unapproachable. She's too busy. He's too important. She's rather aloof. Unapproachable. Our God dwells in unapproachable light. Sit on that just for a minute. A little bit ago, I was in an email correspondence with the adult son of a friend of mine. Now, this young man, he was a used to. He used to go to church. He used to be part of youth group. He's not into that anymore. And you get a sense that his image of God is sort of, or at least the God that he used to be a part of, has all kinds of accessories, unpleasant ones. Finally, at one point, he wrote, I don't believe in God. Thought about it a moment. And I wrote it back. And I said, tell me about the God you don't believe in. Because I probably don't believe in that God either. Unapproachable light. Reminds me of the words of A.W. Tozer. You know Tozer? You've never read anything by Tozer. You should. He's mid-20th century. He wrote a book called Knowledge of the Holy. He wrote a bunch of small little books. You gotta pick one. Listen to what he says in Knowledge of the Holy. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. The history of mankind will probably show that no people has ever risen above its religion. And man's spiritual history will positively demonstrate that no religion has ever been greater than its idea of God. Draken? We tend, by a secret law of the soul, to move toward our mental image of God. I'll read that phrase again. We tend, by a secret law of the soul, to move toward our mental image of God. My young friend went there. We do too. The most determining fact about any person is not what he at a given time may say or do, but what he in his deep heart conceives God to be like. So what comes into your mind when you think about God? Is he aloof? Is he too busy? Is he an ogre ready to squash somebody? Is he a pushover? Our God dwells in unapproachable light. That image hasn't entered my being in a long, long time. When Paul wrote that, when the Apostle Paul wrote that, he was probably referring to the encounter that Moses had with the Lord there in the book of Exodus. The golden calf had already been made, and God already got really ticked off, and so did Moses of his people, and it's about time to give the second giving of the law. And God basically told Moses, I'm not going with you. You're on your own. Oh. And so Moses then says to his Lord, please show me your glory. God sort of responds, no can do. And then comes up with a plan and says, okay, if you hide behind this rock, then in all of my shining, in all of my light, in all of my glory, I will pass by you and you'll just see sort of the back end. That's all you can tolerate. Unapproachable light. Who's God to you? Unapproachable light. Show me your glory. Can't, okay, but now we're heading into Advent. Because in many ways, the Christmas story, the the incarnation is really all about the glory of God. Christmas and God's glory, God's unapproachable light, go hand in hand. I'll prove it to you. Again, going back to Handel, glory to God in the highest. One of our favorite carols, mild he lays his glory by. Born that man no longer die. Now we get to the scriptures. Here's John describing Jesus, the eternal Son of God, coming to Bethlehem. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then the nativity stories themselves. And the angel of the Lord stood before the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shined around them. You getting the theme? And then they all said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace upon whom his favor rests. So, per A.W. Tozer, when you think of the God of Christmas, what enters your mind? Who is your God this Advent 2024? Is your God the glorious, immortal, eternal God who dwells in unapproachable light? Or do you lean more toward the baby in the manger, born of a virgin's womb? But I want to show you this morning, and in many ways, what we're going to try to demonstrate this entire Advent series is this. Before you understand how small God became in Bethlehem, you must understand how infinitely huge he is eternal. Before you comprehend how completely human God was in Jesus, you must comprehend how utterly divine God is in Trinity. Before you understand how graciously approachable God is, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Before you can comprehend how graciously approachable God is, you must understand how gloriously unapproachable God is. Can you live with that tension? See, that's God's strategy. That's always been his MO. In order to renew this earth, to renew our lives, to bring hope and light in our glorious darkness, always the infinite glorious one becomes unmistakably ordinary. You gotta have both to display his greatness and his power. He uses things that are weak and small. So this Advent, especially today, we're going to look at the glory of God, the God who dwells in unapproachable light. That God, who reflects this God, we will come to know the one who says, I am the light of the world, and calls us from darkness to light. Okay, let's just go on a little tour of God's glory. Can we do that? A little tour of God's glory that begins with Moses saying, show me your glory. Again, there's the Moses with the Lord, and they're both really frustrated with the people of God. Moses is about to go back up with the two tablets empty again to get the law. But before he goes, Moses says, show me your glory. And then God tells him, okay, with the stipulations, you're going to hide behind this rock and you're only just going to get a wee glimpse. He says, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, literally Yahweh. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, you can't see my face. Man shall not see me and live. That's why the shepherds, by the way, when the glory comes around them, they become paralyzed in fear. Whoa. This isn't a Steven Spielberg movie. This is the unapproachable light. Humanity cannot apprehend the divine. So there you have the problem. We mortals cannot see God's glory. We just can't. It's another dimension. We cannot see it. Now, people and societies for thousands and thousands of years have tried to understand who God is, have created philosophies and religions about who God is. Once in a while, they get close. Usually, they don't get close at all. And whatever they come up with ends up being some sort of idolatry because they think they've got it, and you don't. Without God's self-disclosure, you don't get it. It would be like saying, I'm going to investigate the sun. I'm not even going to wear my Ray-Bans. You can't. Our God dwells in unapproachable light. Lord, show me your glory. Don't go there, Moses. You really can't. Now, here's as an aside. I want you to get this. So what is the glory? Well, it's clearly the unapproachable light. It's not a part of God. It's who God is. But I want you to hear, I'm going to read you from the next chapter too. But I want you to get a glimpse of what God's glory is. It is the outshining of who he is, of his perfections, of his goodness, of his attributes. So that when Moses says, show me your glory, the Lord says, okay, I will make my goodness pass before you. I will be gracious. I will show mercy. Oh. And again, next chapter of Exodus, it's not on the screen. Moses now has the two tablets. He's about to get those written on again with the Ten Commandments. And it says, and the Lord descended in the cloud. Here comes his glory. And stood with Moses there, and he proclaimed the name of the Lord. By the way, a person's name is their character. Then and now. When he proclaims his name, he's proclaiming his character. He proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh, a God who is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. What's the glory of God? I want you to get this. It is the visible unapproachable light. It is the visible outshining of the perfections of God, of his attributes. So other than us, so brilliant that we can't grab it, and yet very understandable. It's his mercy. It's his goodness. It's his forgiveness. It's his slow to anger. It's his faith. That's his glory. It's the outshining of the character of God, which we'll get there in a minute, but I want you to think about this. When we are called to glorify God, what does it mean? In a very puny way, that means we're showing his character. God is gracious. How do I know it? Because watch, I am. God is forgiving. How do I know? Because I am. That young man I'm having the email conversation with, he saw none of that. He saw a capricious God, an angry God only. Show me your glory. There's a second issue with our humanity. Say goodbye to my glory. But you were going to do a tour of God's glory. Now move ahead roughly 800 years. The nation of Israel is established. Remember Moses and Joshua, they go into the land, they set up their nation. And when they set up their nation, eventually, when David and Solomon built the temple, the glory of the Lord dwelt in the temple. That's why the priest every year would have to go in very carefully with bells on his ankles, just in case he saw too much and he died. So now 800 years later, the prophet Ezekiel does a play-by-play of God finally getting fed up enough of his people's unholiness and leaves. He's gone. The glory of the Lord is gone. Then the glory of the Lord moved away from the threshold of the temple, stopped above the cherubim, and then headed out the east gate. He's gone. Ooh. The idolatry, the immorality, the violence, the indifference of the people. God said, would say to them in the next chapter, you've not followed my statutes, you've not obeyed my laws, and you've acted according to the nations around you. I'm done. I'm done with you. Enough is enough. I'm out of here. And he goes. Their lives, they are to be the covenant people of God. Their lives and their character was so contrary to the character and glory of God. I'm done. Makes you wonder about the church today. That's another point. That was 800 years or so after Moses. Now go ahead another 600 years, okay? Glory of the Lord, nowhere to be found. Temple's empty, just a religious building. And then say hello to my glory. 600 years later, you have a bunch of dirty shepherds standing out in the field. In their generation, and the generations hundreds of years before them, glory of the Lord, just something we read about. Nowhere to be seen. And God, the unapproachable God, is approaching them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. Say hello to my glory. The glorious God dwelling in unapproachable light comes near and approaches us on that first advent. Well, how does he do that? We're still humans, and humans can't see the glory, and we're still as sinful as can be, and the glory wants to say goodbye. I know. Here comes Jesus. And he's human. Oh, we can see that. And he comes to deal with our sin, ultimately to die on the cross, so that that which is blocking our ability to see his glory is no longer there. No one has seen God. We read it in the Gospel of John. But the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son. Here's the way the book of Hebrews describes it. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the unapproachable light, whom Moses could only see the tiny back of hiding behind a rock. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. That radiant glory became human. Oh. So now humanity can see humanity. And in that humanity of Jesus, the radiance of God's glory. After making purification of sins, my sin can't see the glory of God. Oh, but Jesus dealt with that too. He purified. Here's how Paul describes it. Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God. What does it mean in the form of God? He had the radiance of God's glory. This is God the Son. He did not count equality with God something to be clung on to. This is moments before Bethlehem. But emptied himself of what? Of his glory. What did Jesus look like? He looked like that carpenter over there. He looked like you. He didn't look like the radiant glory that Moses couldn't look like. He emptied himself of that glory. That's what he emptied himself. Still fully divine, with all of the characteristics of God. Don't ever let anyone tell you that he emptied himself of his deity or of other. No, he didn't. He emptied himself of his glory so that you didn't need sunglasses when you saw him. And he took on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He looked like you. And then he humbled himself by obediently coming to the cross. Are you getting it? God dwells in unapproachable light. And because of our humanity and because of our sinfulness, we can never, ever approach it. So God approaches us, and he becomes human. So now my humanity is not in the way. And in his humanity, he dies on the cross so that my sinfulness is not. Right before Jesus goes back, before he gets crucified and eventually ascends into heaven, he prays to his Father a number of beautiful things. But I want you to see one of the things that he prays. He says, now, Father, glorify me in your presence. Watch this phrase. With that glory I had with you before the world existed. Before Mary was impregnated, that would be the better way to say it, with Jesus. And before he was born in Bethlehem, what was Jesus like? He was in the glory of the Trinity. That's what he was like. And then he emptied himself of that. And at the end of his 30-some years of his career as Messiah, he's now praying. And he says, Lord, Father, can I have my glory back? And you don't have to read much of the book of Revelation to realize he got it back. Solution. We looked at two problems, our morality and our mortality. Keeps us from seeing the glory of God. Solution. God comes in veiled glory to deal with our sin problem. One more thing. Show them his glory. Show them his glory. God has a plan, remember? You remember? It's his protocol to restore a broken world and our broken lives, to renew by taking what is grand and making it small. And God somehow uses puny people like me and you to demonstrate to a snow-blind world that can't see his glory. God uses us to point to him. Hard to believe, isn't it? How we fit in this story. First, by believing. And then second, by showing his glory. Merely a sign. Sort of like when you're driving out west and you see the sign for the Grand Canyon. Oh my, Grand Canyon, 40 miles away. Maybe a big billboard. That'd be kind of silly for a family to just say, we're at the Grand Canyon. Let's just pitch tent right here at this sign. No, it's just a sign. It's pointing to something. We're just signs. We're pointing. Our lives need to be pointing to the Grand Canyon, to who the Lord is. We are the ways. How do I get to God? How does that happen? Well, first he says, watch, talking about his followers, I've given them the glory. Ooh, you've given me. Oh, how does it manifest itself? That they might be one as we are one. Oh. With all of our denominations and all of our church splits and all of our infightings in churches, we've blown that one. But if the church ever gets its act together and truly becomes one in a completely divided world, whoa, your God must be amazing. You're one. You're unified. How'd you do that? I don't know, but God's one. He's three, but he's one. And we're a reflection of that. We're glorifying him. And then the other way, in the same way, let your light shine. Here comes the light again. Let your light shine before other people. How? That they might see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. How do they do that? That's our good works. What is the glory of God? It is the visible outshining of the characteristics of God, his goodness, his mercy, his graciousness, his forgiveness, his steadfastness. And when we, in tiny little ways, like signs pointing to the Grand Canyon, when we are gracious or kind or forgiving, we're pointing. Glorify God. God's glory is this. In a magnificent, unapproachable way. Solution. Our dark and broken world can see God's glory through God's people. Have you trusted him as Savior by faith? Are you living for him, for his glory, by good works? Are you doing the works he's given you to do? I'm done, but we're about to get ready for communion. One of the pictures, remember the picture that Sue and I showed you of that, of the woman, the older woman in her little store. If you looked carefully, she had a red dot on her forehead. She's Hindu. She invited us into her little home, ended up sitting on her dirt floor, and she gave us tea to thank us. This is Christ to all people. We are showing the grace of Christ. And she can't believe that Christian people are being so kind and so loving to her. Do your good works. And eventually, in their time, in God's time, they will glorify your Father in heaven. Tops on my prayer list right now is that one. I'm going to pray for us. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I invite you to participate in the communion table. We'll take the bread and we'll take the cup. And together, we will do communion. Now, I want you to see it this way. Our unapproachable God became approachable in his Son and even invites us to his table and say, have a meal with me. And that's what we're doing right now. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I pray that you would use the tenor of these passages. Not maybe my words that perhaps even got in the way. The tenor of how great, how magnificent, how glorious you are. And Father, I pray that you would sear them in our hearts and minds. May we never see you as the buddy upstairs, but as the glorious God who dwells in unapproachable light, and yet by your grace, you've approached us in your Son, who became human like us, that he could die on the cross for our sins, that we now may boldly approach your throne, eat your meal, and have fellowship with the glorious God of unapproachable light. Father, be with us now as we take this bread and drink this cup. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.